America's new truth czar. The coexistence of blackness and standard English. And FAIR's upcoming film festival. Welcome to FAIR News Weekly. To read all of the articles discussed in this podcast, please visit this podcast's episode description. On May 9th, 2022, FAIR's legal team and network counsel filed an amicus brief in the case of Students for FAIR Admissions versus Harvard College. FAIR filed in support of Students for FAIR Admissions and made a pro-human argument in favor of holistic and FAIR admissions not based on skin color or ancestry. As stated in the brief, the moral imperative of racial neutrality is no imperative at all when vague exceptions are carved out and neutrality has been stripped of its meaning. The only option that is both workable and consistent with equality principles is to preclude any consideration of race in university admissions. FAIR agrees that diversity along many dimensions is a desirable goal in institutions of higher education. However, employing group preferences to achieve that goal is inconsistent with the nation's first principle of equality and individual rights, and does a disservice to those the policy claims to uplift. Skin color is a crude proxy for perspectives and experiences. By using reductive group preferences that do not necessarily correlate with an individual's life experience, competence, or character, we evaluate institutional interests over individual rights and foment division, resentment, and dehumanization. On our Substack, FAIR advisor Wilfred Riley wrote about the ways media reaction to the conflict between Chris Rock and Will Smith at the 2022 Oscars ceremony reflects a larger and more pernicious problem. He states, "This reaction is a microcosm of a broader pattern that has become common in recent years. High-profile defenses of POC and/or attacks on white people, combined with claims that no one ever defends minorities or criticizes whites. Let's be blunt. This whole argument is pretty damned silly. While lower-end white racism, of the kind measured by audit studies, clearly still exists, it is also a facially obvious truth that formalized advantages for people of color are a feature of modern middle-class life. It is generally just not true that Black or Hispanic applicants have to work far harder than equally qualified whites to secure executive jobs or student slots in solid universities." In another piece on our Substack, FAIR fellow Quay Hanna wrote about growing up grappling with race essentialist beliefs and how his experience riding the bus with strangers of all backgrounds opened his eyes. He says, "Growing up in rural white America, I was labeled everything from a hick to a redneck to white trash. I had spent a portion of this time, from about the ages 16 to 23, buying into the belief that I was biologically superior because of my skin color. I found myself sitting on the bus, next to people who I assumed shared nothing in common with me, people with darker skin, people from big cities, people from other states, people who never went to college or even graduated high school, in stark contrast to the race essentialism I had developed over the previous years. I was amazed by the striking similarities I had with these passengers." For the New York Times, FAIR advisor John McWhorter wrote about the insistence by some activist academics that requiring Black students to write and speak in standard English should be considered a kind of oppression. McWhorter states, "Too often, what we're presented with as authentically Black is kind of essentialization. The idea that people's authenticity stops at their home dialect does not reflect how people operate linguistically or their experience. Foisted on Black Americans, this idea of the standard dialect as a quiet menace, whatever its progressive intentions, is limiting." McWhorter's sentiments echo FAIR advisor Eric Smith's recent piece from our Substack, following the same topic, pushing against activist and essentialist views toward language and composition that ultimately harm students of all backgrounds. For the New York Post, FAIR advisor Douglas Murray wrote about the importance of the First Amendment and how free speech has the power to help heal our national divide, if we let it. Continuing, Murray states, "Most countries don't have a First Amendment because most countries don't have America's faith in free speech. Most countries in the world today, and historically, find free expression to be a nuisance. China's rulers think a free press is a right pain, so they don't allow it. If you live in China or Russia today, you get told what to believe, you get told what you're allowed to know, and you're expected to suck it up. In a country this huge, we are always going to have different opinions, and we need to learn how to live together, not how to divide ourselves further. The answer is not less speech, or government-approved speech, but more speech. For Washington Monthly, John Haplin reviews Francis Fukuyama's new book, Liberalism and Its Discontents, which offers an eloquent and eminently sensible defense of liberal freedom and pluralism that should be read and debated by leaders and activists across the ideological spectrum. Haplin writes, "Properly understood, liberalism embraces different religious, ethnic, and cultural identities and patriotism. Liberal universal values can also help to define a more inclusive nationalism based on common civic values of tolerance, freedom, and respect for differences, rather than a more exclusive one based on race, religion, or ethnicity." For Fair Advisor Barry Weiss's Substack, Common Sense, journalist and BarPod co-host Katie Herzog wrote about the Department of Homeland Security's new Disinformation Governance Board and its leader, Nina Jankowicz, who writes songs about misinformation for fun. Herzog says, "The Disinformation Governance Board, or the Ministry of Truth, as critics dubbed it, has an ambitious mission to stop the spread of misinformation. That sounds nice. Except what one woman calls misinformation, another might call information. As you may recall, recent stories labeled misinformation include some that look increasingly legit, like Hunter Biden's forgotten laptop, the COVID lab leak theory, and Wayfair selling cabinets full of stolen children. Okay, that one might actually be fake." For The Wall Street Journal, Colin Wright wrote about a political cartoon he had created and shared on Twitter, which he designed to illustrate his sense of alienation from the political left since 2008. The cartoon was then shared by Elon Musk and caused an uproar online. Wright states, "When my cartoon went viral, it resonated with many people and caused dissonance in the left-wing media. The Washington Post's Greg Sargent called it a silly chart that has been brutally debunked. His colleague, Philip Bump, described it as simply wrong and an obvious exaggeration. Mr. Bump even provided a series of actually silly charts showing the average ideological score using a metric called DW-nominate and evaluations of ideology as measured in the Biennial General Social Survey, GSS. Today, we've opened registration for the Fair Film Festival. Featured films include What Killed Michael Brown, directed by Fair Advisor Eli Steele, Mighty Ira, I Am a Victor, and more. The festival will take place from June 12th to June 16th, with an in-person event in New York City and virtual registration available to all. This week, Fair has released a new video with Fair Advisor John McWhorter, where he discusses the dark legacy of anti-science attitudes in recent history and how a similar phenomenon has become widespread in America today. McWhorter explains how theories about microaggressions, implicit bias, and systemic racism have caught on despite the lack of evidence supporting them. He concludes, "If we want to heal the racial divisions in our nation, we need real science and scholarship, not twisted by ideology. Believing that being more race conscious in all aspects of our lives can cure our ills won't make it so, but if we're willing to open our mind beyond the ideas that are presently popular, we might just be able to find what will." How can we provide safe and quality transgender healthcare in an age of activism in medicine? Join FAIR in Medicine for our webinar, How Activism Influences Transgender Healthcare, a Pro-Human Discussion, as we engage with this question and others. Moderated by FAIR advisor and senior fellow Xander Keg, and featuring panelists like the Gender Care Consumer Advocacy Network's Corinna Cohn, founder and director of Gender Dysphoria Alliance, Erin Kimberly, and psychotherapist, best-selling author, and founder of GenSpect, Stella O'Malley, as we discuss the pro-human approach to transgender healthcare. Register today with the link in the description. We want our FAIR Substack to be the go-to publication for people interested in sharing and reading diverse perspectives on culture and civil rights. Whether you're a seasoned author or an amateur writer with a story that can contribute to our mission of promoting fairness, understanding, and humanity, we would love to share your stories. opinions, investigations, reviews, interviews, and more. Please submit your piece to submissions at fairforall.org. We hope to hear from you. Finally, if you liked this podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a rating and review. Make sure to check out our newsletter and weekly roundup to read more into any of this week's stories, or visit the episode description. Donations are always welcome at fairforall.org/donate.